Good afternoon, 242. So let's continue on to sockets today. So sockets are always fun. It's the difference between just being able to stay right on your computer and know where everything is to being able to talk to other places in the world, which is pretty neat. So last time we talked a little bit about host to host and about the idea of an address and that an address was telling us where the other host was. So you can kind of think of this like an apartment building or a business building where you have a lot of businesses located in the same building. The address takes us there, but we need to know which door to go into to get the service that we want, and that is a port or a port number, which door to enter. So ports are a reference to a service on a particular server, and usually this is the difference between kind of host to host to client server. A server is usually serving up data or services to a particular client who's asking for those particular services and data. In our case here, Bilbo would be the server. Bilbo is connected, is providing a service, and Pippin and Merry have connected to Bilbo. So these ports are pretty standard, a lot of standard ports out there. Port 22 is for SSH, port 23 for Telnet, port 25 for SMTP, the simple mail, or port 80 for the hypertext website. So usually those are the standard ones. Very difficult to get a port really recognized for your protocol, unless your protocol is really, really widespread and widely used. So usually now, if you create a service, you're going to have to advertise your protocol, and it might be every time you connect, you have to use a different one. So this is a wild west of ports. In general, if you're writing some code, you want to use a port number that's pretty dang big, 4,000s, 5,000s, 10,000, something like that. Somewhere in there, right? Something big at the top end where it's probably not being used for a different service. So servers serve up some service. When we do this with sockets, and there's a kind of a subtle difference between the idea of a socket and a port is where that service is offered. A socket is an actual end terminal. So Pippin has a socket right there. And that socket wanted to connect to the service that Bilbo was providing at a particular port number. So Bilbo's going to listen on that port number. He's going to create a socket that can listen on that port number. And when there is a connection, when somebody comes in and says, hey, I need to get data or send stuff to you on this, they'll actually generate another socket. And that new socket will now be the endpoint of the connection for Pippin. To Pippin, it looks like they're talking straight to the original port, all right? Pippin has no idea that it's now moved, but it is. It's now moved. And so Bilbo and Pippin can talk to each other on this connection. The same thing is true with Merry. Note, this frees up Bilbo's socket there at the top end to be able to accept a new connection. So you can see here that I'm using some words. On the client side, we're going to create a socket to connect to the server. On the server side, I'm going to have a socket that's going to listen on a port and then create connections for each one. And so that can kind of start to build an API. Let's kind of lay this out a little bit better. We want to, on the client side, open a socket and connect to a server. Socket and connect are magic words there. And on the server side, I want to open a socket. I want to associate that socket with a particular address and port, okay? Note, the socket isn't associated with any address and port to start with. It's just an end terminal. Then I'm going to bind it to a particular address and port. I'm going to listen for the connections on that one. And then any new connections that come in, I will accept and move them to a new socket. So all of these words are taken directly from BSD sockets. So BSD sockets are Berkeley Standard Distribution sockets. They won the internet. They are sockets in Linux, but originally were found in Unix and BSD Unix. So these sockets are pretty straightforward. There's a function called socket. It creates a file descriptor. The return type there of in is for a file descriptor. It takes in a domain, a type, and a protocol, which tells us what kind of socket it is, what kind of socket it is, and what kind of socket it is. And we'll see these later what we can put in there. And then the second thing the client will do is connect to an address, all right? So it needs to connect to some sort of address, and it's going to do that. It's going to take in a file descriptor, and it's going to connect to an address defined in the sock adder pointer. Okay, so it's going to find out somewhere, hey, do this thing, go there. And you can see that those two, the sock length is the length of the construct sock adder. And then the int there is actually an error return value. For the server side, we're going to have the same socket function call at the beginning, except we're going to do three other things. We're going to bind, i.e. associate that file descriptor, that socket, with a particular address. What address? Well, the address that is the address that we are, plus our port name, our number. We're going to listen on that. The backlog here is simply telling how many sockets we're willing to have waiting in a queue. And then finally, we'll have accept, which is going to create a new socket. It takes the socket that we have in, the file descriptor we have in, and it will create a new one. And I believe filling in our address there. So let's build an abstraction from this. Let's try to build a struct that handles it. I could use all of these function calls directly and it would be fine. What I want to do though, is I want to create a structure that is easy for me to incorporate in any program that I would like to write. So if you want to throw it into a chat room, great. If you want to make a very complicated 360 project, great. It just works. And so I'm going to abstract out some of these system calls and move them to a higher level. Is this perfect? No. There are times where you want finer control. Is it good to have this so you can just kind of add it in? Yeah. So let's practice this. In your assignment that you were given to comment on for next Monday, that assignment is about building comments. And one of the things that you're going to be looking at is a tube struct. It's just something I threw together. It's not necessarily the best at all, but it's a wrapper for a two-way communication pipe. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Two-way pipes right there. A tube. So, let's think about this abstraction. What are the things that we need to do? We need something to handle clients, and I'm going to do both of these at the same time. Open a socket and connect it. Because in the general idea of sockets, I want to connect, open it up, and connect. And on the server side, I want to do something different. I want to just say, hey, open up a socket and listen. And so what will that take? That'll do three things. It'll create a socket, it'll bind the socket to the address, and it'll listen for connections all at the same time. That's kind of cool. And then the next thing, the last thing, is accept, which is going to accept connections and create a new socket so you can move that on. So all three of these are just abstracting out what was already there with the system calls and hopefully hiding some of those kind of hairy details. So let's build one. Let's build socket open. Now, I don't know the best way to do this, and in designing a structure, you rarely do at the onset. But what I'm going to do is have it take in the host name that I want to connect to and the port. And what am I going to return back from this? Probably nothing. All right, so this is like I've created a variable of type capital socket, and I say, you know, s.open, passing in the host name and the port. S.open, cs.longwood.edu, comma, 80. There we go. I've got port 80, and I've got to connect to cs.longwood.edu. Now, maybe this should be returning an error, and maybe you should handle errors. I'm probably not going to talk a lot about error handling here. In fact, I know I won't, because that's just adding on extra stuff for you to try to sort through. So it's going to be pretty bare minimum. I do know that a socket function call needs to go here because I create it. And so I'm going to get back a file descriptor. I'm going to want to use this file descriptor to read and write and to close outside of open. So what am I going to make this? File descriptor is going to be living in top level of the struct. So it needs to be outside of this. Then there's stuff that I don't know what to do with, and it's just going to go in there. And I'm going to worry about that a little bit later. I also know I want to connect. So in here, I'll connect, and I'll look at this connect, and the very first parameter is a file descriptor. Well, I luckily just created one in the previous line, so connect, file descriptor, and stuff. And again, connect returns an error that you should be dealing with. All right, great. What's the stuff? Well, when I look at it, I can go back to page, I think it was slide 5, and I can see that the stuff is these three ints in socket, and then I can see that the stuff is a sock adder pointer. And so I'm going to try to chase that around and find out where it is. The thing I can tell you is that I would use the get adder info system call. That's going to convert the host name and port into a sock address, okay? And so that's exactly what I'll do. Get adder info. It returns if there's an error or not. And then it's got these two things at the end. Hints and info is what it's, I've got them labeled. If I was typing this in, I could see that it's taking in two C strings and then hints and info. Excellent. How do I do this? Well, I'm going to look at the second thing that it takes in, get adder info, and I'll see that it's a pointer to a pointer to a sock adder. Okay. And that info right there is going to get filled in. It's going to get filled in with all of these different data members, like the family, the sock type, the address, and the address length. That's pretty cool. So I can go right at this. I can put in my info, and I can use info AI family, info AI sock type. That's going to be what family it is. That's what sock type it's going to be. And then finally, zero, which means we'll accept just about anything that comes our way in terms of protocol. All right, not that we're just accepting anything willy-nilly in the world, but in terms of protocol. And then finally, connect, file descriptor, and I put those in, and it now works. How cool is that? That's pretty cool. Okay, so I need to build variables for hints and info, and so I'll just go at it. I'll say struct adder info hints and struct adder info star info. Great, cool, wonderful. Now I really need to get in. Well, where am I initializing star info? It's a pointer. What's it point to? Oh, it's allocating memory in get adder info. So I better call free adder info at the bottom. All right, so if you use get adder info, the man page should show you free adder info, so I'll free it at the bottom. Yay, there we go. We allocated some memory, and then we freed that memory at the bottom. Away we have it. Now, what was the purpose of hints? So hints is actually saying what kind of socket we want. And get adder info will use those hints to generate them and put and try to generate a socket for us, a socket adder for us, and put it in info. So for these hints, what we're going to do to start with is we're going to zero out everything in hints, and then we're going to say that the family that we want is going to be the family of INET 6. That is the Internet Protocol version 6. Okay, so what we're taking in is Internet Protocol version 6. And then the second thing that we want to be able to do is pass in the type of socket. And in our case, it's going to be socket stream. We want things that are going to be able to stream the data across. The Internet Protocol could also have been AFINET, which is IP version 4 instead of IP version 6. There's some other ones as well, and you can look them up. You might see them referenced as PF, but PF and AF are actually identical. PF INET 6 is the same constant as AF INET 6, and usually is just used as AF. All right, that's it. We have open done, and this may not feel like very much. We have an int FD up at the top, and away we have it. But actually, what this is going to give us is the ability to open and then read and write from a file descriptor. We could open a connection to another server, not on Longwood, not in Virginia, not on our continent, and read something from it. And that's pretty cool with just this one function, all right? Well, not read it from just this one function, but we could open it up with just this one function. So a very powerful tool for us to be able to do and be able to use. So on Friday, we're going to continue this on. I want to hit on the server things that we have, and I want to hit on being able to check to see if there's data in places. And so the hint to tell you to look forward to is to look at pull, and you'll see that actually in your assignment due on Monday. You'll see that in Tube. We have a pull. Is there data there or not? And so we'll talk about that idea of being able to be asynchronous in our, well, synchronous in our communication while not blocking, which is a very powerful tool for us. All right, I'm looking forward to talking to you in the short term. Hopefully we'll build a little program soon with the socket stuff. And don't worry so much. I don't remember if I told you at the beginning, but don't worry so much. I will give you this code. You can hang in there, work hard on these lab 3, lab 4, Lab 5 will be a small networking lab so that we can get it done. Hang in there, work hard, keep grinding away, and If you got concerns, feel free to talk to me and I will try to get back to you. I'm really swamped between trying to prep stuff and between a lot of things coming in on me. And so if I'm not getting back to you right away, it's not that I'm ignoring you. It's that probably all of that information has gotten lost in somewhere with the amount of communication that's coming at me at the same time. So stay on me and I will try to be able to get back to you. It's not intentional. I promise you that. All right. Hope you're having a great day. I'll talk to you soon.